All right. If I sound any bit tired, it is because I'm running on 4 hours of sleep. So forgive me. This week was amazing. And I think what shocks me so much about it is because I didn't want to go this week. I had a lot of reasons not to go. If you know me, I just had a baby. About tomorrow will be 4 weeks. And that, and among other things, I also didn't feel like I was prepared to hang with these guys for 5 days straight, walking up and down hills. I was not ready for that. I still am not ready for that. But there was a lot of reasons for me to not be excited about going this week, and that's usually not the case for me. I love Falls Creek. It's where I recommitted my life to Jesus. It's where I've decided I wanted to commit my life to mission work and, like, just becoming a disciple of Christ more seriously. It's very dear to me, and yet this year, I didn't want to do it. And yet, on Monday, I got there, and by the end of it, I realized why I needed to be there and why I love it so much. These kids right here, as well as there's a few who aren't with us today because of other things or they're at other churches, they have been shining examples of the Lord's love this week, even if I've had to God on them a little bit every now and then. But I'm so thankful for these guys and these girls. And it just was a reminder to me that sometimes we don't do what we want, but we do what God wants. And when we do that, when we put the Lord first, amazing things happen. And so we've had a couple amazing things just in our group. For Falls Creek in general, this week alone, I think there's like 420 plus major decisions of like recommitment, baptism, or just salvation in general that youth made just across the camp. And that's only including in the tabernacle. That doesn't include like in the cabins with the sponsors who spend time with the kids. And I'll tell you, in our cabin alone, our sponsors probably helped, not including these guys, probably like 10 to 20 extra kids. So that number probably doubles. And so the Lord was moving this week, but in our group, we had three major decisions, and I'm going to talk about them today. The first one we had was Turner. Turner, will you step up? Just to let them know who you are. He made the decision to recommit his life to Christ this week. We are excited to support you, Turner. We also had Aiden Williams. She's not here today. She's feeling a little under the weather. But she made the decision to recommit her life to Christ this week as well. So we are proud of that. And we want to support her on her journey as she makes those decisions. And we want to help her continue to grow. And then Jordan right here, if you will step up. He made the decision to get baptized, not today, but next week when his parents are home. And so he's taking that next step in his journey with Christ. So we're excited for him and to support him. We are so proud of these guys. And on top of all these ones over here, I watched them all grow this week tremendously, whether it be in leadership, whether it be in care for others, whether it be in their relationship with Christ, whether it be their knowledge of Christ, they all grew. And I was tremendous. I don't think there was a single student here that wasn't helping, who wasn't growing, who was stagnant. And I think it was a lot because of your guys' prayers. A lot of you took the call to wear a wristband and pray for a student this week. Some of y'all took multiple, and so thank you for that. And some of y'all prayed for me and Delaney as well, and I want to thank you for that. I think your prayers, they were heard by God because amazing things happened this week. So thank you guys so much. And so I think I'm done talking too much. You guys can step back if you want to. Do you guys, any one of you, have anything you want to say about the week? You don't have to, but I want to give you the opportunity. And if not, then I think we're good. Anyone? All right. Oh, Jordan does. All right.
I never used one of these before, but it was an amazing week. You know, there was a lot of parties. It was awesome. There was like a bunch of dancing. Anyone that was there like saw me, you know, getting groovy a lot. But yeah, all I wanted to say is that I feel even stronger and closer to God, and I hope my friends here do as well. And I'm so excited for next Sunday to get baptized. And make sure you guys show up. because it's going to be fun. It's going to be cool. Okay? And that's all I got to say.
We are also excited for that. Anyone else? Anyone else have anything you want to say about the week? Anyone? Anyone? All right. Thank you guys for coming up here. Thank you guys for being a light, each one of you. I saw you help kids that were struggling. I saw you make others feel welcome, and I never saw you guys ruin anyone's weeks. You guys were only light, and I'm thankful for that. And so I'm going to pray over this group real quick, and then I get the pleasure of leading y'all today, so I'm excited about that. But I'm going to pray over you guys. And again, thank you for all your prayers for us through the week. Continue to pray for us as we take that step back into normal life, coming from Falls Creek to just regular day-to-day life. It can be a jarring thing, especially when it's such an amazing week. So just keep us in your prayers for that. And so if everyone will bow your heads, I'll pray for us. And then you guys can go step down and we'll begin the lesson. Dear God, thank you for this amazing week at camp. Thank you for these amazing young men and for the young women that were with us as well. Thank you for allowing us to stay healthy. Thank you for allowing us to just be a light to those around us, as well as to feel the light of others as they shone in our lives. I pray that we can take this experience this week and share it to the world. The world can seem like a dark place sometimes. And my only hope is that you guys and y'all in the audience can take the light from here or from camp and make it a little less dark. And so I pray that God is with y'all in every step. And I am just thankful that I got to experience that week with y'all. So it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Y'all can head down. What's up? All right. Is this mic on or am I tripping? Hello, hello, hello. All right, I'm good. Hello. I'm not used to this one as much, so if I sound weird, I'm learning it, okay? And so if y'all don't know me, I am Joshua Rojo. I've been around here for a long time, but I'm kind of a quiet person, so I used to stick to myself a lot, but I have had the great pleasure of being the youth leader for our youth group for a while now. I think it's going on like 5 years or 5 or 6 years. And so it's been an honor. And for a while, I didn't know if I wanted to do something like this, to get up on stage. I didn't know if that was a call in my life. But it was at Falls Creek, of course, that I realized that it was, that I needed to do this. And Pastor Adam and Pastor Eric have been so kind over this past year and a half to help prepare me for this moment. They've been teaching me. They've been guiding me through courses as I've taken to prepare, become a pastor. So I'm excited for this. And so I'm ready. If I sound a little weird, again, I'm running on 4 hours of sleep, and I also have a baby. So forgive me. Forgive me. All right. So I want to start our lesson off in Scripture, okay? And this is where we're going to be throughout the whole day. We're not going to jump around too much. And this Scripture, it was our main scripture for Falls Creek. So I wanted to do this lesson for two reasons. One, to help our youth who were just there for a week as like a final bam, stamp, right? The final lesson that helps them keep what they have this week and retain it. As well, for you guys, I want to give you kind of a rundown of like what we learned. What was the focus this week during Tabernacles and in our in-cabin sessions? So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. And we are going to be in verses 16 through 20. So if you want to go ahead and flip there. And I believe we're going to have it on the screen as well. So whenever they get that up there. And these five verses are quite familiar. They're very common. They're very popular. Five verses, they are known as the Great Commission. They are our call as Christians. This is our great instruction guide, right? As a Christian, you probably just need this, and you're going to know what to do, okay? And so that's what we're going to focus on. So, again, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. And I'm going to read out of my Bible. It's NIV. So if it sounds a little different from yours, that's why. And here it is, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the very end of the age." And so, before we dive in, I want to pray over us again, a quick prayer over our word. So if you would bow your heads, I'm going to pray real quick for the lesson. Dear God, I pray that you guide my words. Allow them to be yours, Lord, not mine. I pray that this lesson connects with those in the audience today, whether it be the youth or the adults. I pray that we are struck in our hearts to carry out this command, and that we know that you are with us always in it. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So, let me flip my page here. Now, I have had the great pleasure of putting together that video every time we go to Falls Creek for the past 4 years, for the past four times I've done it. And so I'm the reason it's always so long. Sorry, guys, it's always 9 or 12 minutes long. I'm sorry about that. And the reason for that is twofold. It's because, one, I stay up until the wee hours of the night. We get back on Saturday morning, and my routine looks like this. I get back, I help unpack. Usually around 11:30, I leave. Then I go get lunch. I come home. I take like an hour or 2 hour nap just so I can survive. And then after that, straight into editing. Right, and I've gotten better. Like, if you've watched our videos, you can tell, like, it went from, like, a really old iPhone to, like, it looks pretty good now. Our screen's a little dark, but it looks pretty good now. And I've done that for 4 years now, or four times we've gone. And the other reason it's so long is because it's hard to cut those memories. It's the person who lived them. And every time I see one of those, it's like, it's something I lived. It was an amazing thing. And so if someone else took it from me, they could probably whittle it down a little better. But for me, it's hard. It is hard because I just see the smiling faces of children having fun, kids having fun, people living for God. And so, where am I at? To be honest, I also do it because I'm always excited to relive how God worked that week, how he worked in our lives, how he was moving with us. And just in that video, you guys got to see students' lives get changed, okay? I mean, it looked like they were all having a great time, but you guys got to watch students worship without holding back. I know it looked like we were having a crazy rave, I know, but we were raving to Christian music, so they were praising the Lord in their rave. We watched friendships deepen. Out here in the real world, we have phones, we have distractions. Sometimes it's hard to have those human-to-human connections, and you guys got to see those friendships get to deepen. And we watched prayers get answered. Again, you guys were praying for us. Things could have gone wrong this week. I've been up there when things go wrong, and yet nothing major happened, and I think it's because of your prayers. So thank you. Thank you. The Lord was listening. And many of you were praying, and God was answering those prayers in the video. We watch God move in real time, and I think we overlook that sometimes. When we watch that video, we think, oh, they're just having fun. But we got to watch the Lord work in that video. That's what that whole week was about. Okay? And so that's why I do it. That's why I edit those videos and I stay up till 2 or 3 a.m. Last night I got to bed at like 1:30, but in the past, 2 to 3 a.m. to see God move again and again and again. And I do, because I loop that video over and I see it again and again. Yeah, every year at camp, there's one question that always comes to my mind. And I think this is a question that comes to your guys' mind too as you come back, all you students who come back. And I think this is a question that comes to a lot of us as Christians' minds after a moment like that, something truly amazing like Falls Creek. And it's now what? Now what? What's going to happen next? Now what? What happens after camp? What happens after the excitement fades? What happens after Monday morning? It's one thing to worship him on the mountaintop when there's barely anything else to distract you. But it's another thing to come back and continue that when everything in the world seems like it wants to pull you from that. There's this theme that happens all throughout the Bible. God often meets people on mountains. And as it just so holds, we were on a mountain for Falls Creek, right? So Moses met God on Mount Sinai. Elijah heard God's voice on Mount Horeb. I think I said that right. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured on a mountain. And here in Matthew 28, the disciples meet the risen Christ on a mountain in Galilee. But here's what every one of those stories has in common, other than being on a mountain, of course. God never intended for them to stay there. You're not supposed to stay on the mountain, okay? Every mountain became the launching point for a mission. Moses came down to lead Israel to freedom. Elijah came down to continue his ministry. And the disciples came down to change the world. We are here right now because of what the disciples did. That's why we get to meet here. And that's because they came down a mountain. These mountains were never the destination. They were preparation for what comes next. I believe that's God's message for us today. Whether your mountaintop was this week at Falls Creek, whether your mountaintop was when you gave your life to Christ a long time ago, or whether your mountaintop was a Sunday service where God met you right where you were at. God doesn't give us mountaintop moments so we can try and stay there forever, though. He gives us mountaintop moments so we can live on mission with him, so we can come down and share those things. So I want to go ahead and look at our scripture a little closer and see what we can learn from this particular mountaintop moment, okay? This chapter takes place after the disciples had just experienced the greatest event ever. Jesus had died on the cross. He had been buried, and he rose 3 days later. I don't think of anything more amazing than that. And in that moment, death was defeated. And now, here they were on a mountain in Galilee with Jesus after he had risen up. Could you imagine standing there? Could you imagine being one of those 11 disciples who got to be there with Jesus after all that happened, after the promise was kept? If anyone had a reason to want to stay there forever, it was those 11 disciples. I imagine it was a pretty awesome moment. I imagine. But Jesus doesn't say, hey, you guys are here, you made it. You guys can stay up on the mountain with me. It's cool, you know, we're good. He doesn't say that. Instead, he says, go. One word, two letters. He said, go. And that one word changes everything for us. Okay? And I think sometimes we treat Christianity like it's about collecting spiritual experiences. I just need another worship service. You know, Kisha was killing it today. I just need another one of those. I just need another camp. I just need another Falls Creek. I just need another emotional moment. And don't get me wrong, those things are great, and they are definitely gifts from God. I'm not here to diminish those moments. But they are never the goal. They are never the moment we're supposed to stay. Jesus didn't call us to chase spiritual highs, because if we do, we are never going to feel satisfied. Jesus didn't call us, or he called us to faithful obedience. Listen again to what he says in verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Notice he didn't say, teach them how to feel. He said, teach them how to obey. Feelings are wonderful. Feelings are awesome. Like, I agree. They're also sometimes not. There's a reason God gave them to us. But feelings were never meant to sustain our faith forever. Instead, obedience does. There will be mornings you don't feel inspired. There will be seasons where worship doesn't feel emotional. And there will be times when following Jesus is hard to do. But in the end, real discipleship isn't built on those emotional highs we are always looking for. It's built on daily surrender. It's built on what we do right now. Jesus isn't asking us to preserve a moment. He's inviting us into a lifestyle where those moments keep happening. So why is it so hard for us to live this way? Why is it so hard for us to take that lifestyle? Why do people leave camp on fire for God and only to struggle a few days later? Why do people leave Sunday and they're all hyped for God? You guys might be like, man, that was a good Sunday. I'm hyped. And then you go home and you forget about it a few hours later. Why do we do that? And I think there are a few reasons. The first is life gets loud. Eric taught a great lesson a couple weeks ago about the white noise, right? There's a lot of noise around us. Responsibilities return. Work, school, sports, bills, appointments, you know? The routine comes back, often leaving us to be feel overworked and forget about the most important thing of all, our relationship with Christ. Second, the enemy loves to attack after spiritual victories. He likes to strike when you're hot. I want you guys to think about Jesus. Immediately after his baptism with John the Baptist, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan himself for 40 days. Spiritual victories are often followed by spiritual battles. And I don't think we are always prepared for these as much as we should be. I don't think I was when I was a young boy who made his first recommitment to Christ. I wasn't ready for what was coming next. The third thing is we begin depending on yesterday's experience instead of today's relationship. I'm just going to tell you right now, it can be real hard to live this week on last week's encounter with God. It's kind of like trying to live today off of last week's meal. You kind of need food. I couldn't even do it off of yesterday's meal. I'm already hungry. I'm already ready for lunch, guys. I couldn't do that. I don't know about y'all. And so if we won't do that with food, we need food every day, right? We need water every day. Why would we try to do that with our spiritual food, our spiritual sustenance? And the point I'm trying to make here is that our relationship with Christ has to be daily. No matter how great that mountaintop yesterday was, we can't let that be our only source of nourishment. Otherwise, we're going to go hungry in a week. It just makes sense. It just makes sense. Yet when I used to go to summer camp, I would see other students get that great week of discipleship and then go a whole year before getting any more. And guess what? When they came back, they were hungry. They were hungry. And you know what? It wasn't a day. It was a me. That was me, especially my first couple years. You know, I'd go there. I'm like, I got my fill. And then I just lived having fun, you know. And it wasn't until I got a little older where I started, I'm like, I should probably eat every day, you know. I need my food. We need God daily. And finally, maybe the biggest reason it can be so hard to live this lifestyle of following Jesus, we start believing it's all up to us. We think, I have to keep this going. I have to stay strong. I have to make sure I never fall. I'm just going to break it to you. If you're relying on only yourself to keep this moment going, it's not going to work. And I only tell you that because I'm the guy I'm trying to rely only on myself. I'm a high-stress dude. I like to do things myself. If you notice me, I kind of try to be a one-man band up here. I'm like running camera, I'm running slides, I'm teaching youth. I like to do things myself. And I've noticed when I rely on myself and not others, I tend to burn out. I tend to fail. I tend to fall. The great thing is that's not what Jesus wants from us. Before he ever gives the command, he gives us the foundation in verse 18, which reads, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And that's Jesus talking. So when he says me, he's saying me, Jesus, Christ the King. Everything is under me. Our mission doesn't begin with our own strength. And if we start it that way, we're going to limit our mission. It begins with Christ's authority, and there is no limit on Christ. And I think that's incredibly freeing when you really think about it. Because it's kind of hard sometimes, like, no, I still want to hold on to mine. I like doing things my way. But when you really think about it, when you can let go of something, it's like when I'm at Falls Creek, I got to have these kids clean. We have cleaning duty usually once a day. And I could clean everything myself, make it perfect. Oh, but how freeing it is to be able to say, hey, Christian, you got this? Hey, Evan, you got this? Hey, Aiden, Turner, Jordan, Declan, you got this? And they say, yes, sir. That's what it's like, but 10 times when we give it to Jesus, okay? He gives us the Our mission doesn't begin with our own strength. It begins with Christ's authority. Because at the end of the day, our mission doesn't depend on how capable we are. Because if it did, none of us would be able to cross the finish line. Thankfully, it depends on how powerful he is instead. So what do we do about it? As I study for this sermon, I have really come to love the order of the Great Commission. Okay, there's an order to this. There's a structure to this. There's a reason Jesus says these words and the way he says them and the order he says them. I mean, look at how Jesus lays it out. He starts with all authority is in me in verse 18. And then he says, go, right? He gives us the go commandment in verse 19. Go make disciples. And then finally, I'm with you always in verse 20. So can you guys kind of see the structure a little bit? His authority comes before your obedience, okay? He has authority before you even do anything. And his presence surrounds our mission the whole time. All this to say, Jesus shows how we are never sent alone. When we go, we are not going by ourselves, even though sometimes it feels like it. This week when I went to Falls Creek, I did not have Nikki going with me. And she is usually there helping me so much through the week. I felt a little bit like I was sent alone. I had Delaney. She's awesome, and she did great this week. But it's like I miss Nikki. You know what I mean? But I had God, and God made things work, right? He's amazing. It's for every, and that promise wasn't just for the disciples. It's for every one of us. He's with every single one of us. He's with the students. He's with you guys. As you start this week, he is with you. With you parents who allowed your students go to Falls Creek, or parents of other children. He's with you as you try to guide them. Grandparents, when you're praying over your family, when you're helping take care of them, he's with you. So serving in ministry, when it seems like you're just doing a lot, and it's just never stopping, he's with you. Those facing uncertainty, he's with you. He's with all of us through every step of the way. His presence isn't limited to this building. His presence isn't limited to Falls Creek Campground. And his presence goes wherever his people go. Okay? So what does this command go look like for us, right? I'm saying a lot about go. This two-letter word. What does go mean for us? Sometimes we hear that word and immediately think we need to do something grand. We need to go become missionaries overseas somewhere. We need to do something super crazy. I have a friend recently. Some of y'all know him. He went out and did missionary work out in Madagascar. Maybe we need to go do something like that. And for some of us, that might be true, right? Some of us are called to those grand mission fields, you know, and God's going to put it on your heart, and you'll know it. But every one of us has been sent somewhere, okay? Not a couple of us. Every single one of us has been sent somewhere. Some of you have been sent into the classrooms. Some of you into offices. Some into hospitals, some into homes where your greatest ministry is your own family. Maybe go means having a gospel conversation with a coworker. Maybe it means inviting a neighbor to church. Maybe it means praying with someone who's hurting. Maybe it means forgiving someone who's wronged you and you haven't let it go yet. Maybe it means serving quietly when nobody notices. The mission isn't always spectacular. Most of the time, but it's always, or most of the time, it's wonderfully ordinary, okay? It's just day-to-day stuff. I remember when I was 15 years old at Falls Creek, I felt this call to go. This was after my recommitment to Christ when I was 14, and I didn't know what that meant. I thought it meant I needed to go do something crazy. Like when you're at Falls Creek, they got the Mission Village. You're like, man, you got to go to Brazil. You got to go do this crazy stuff. And I tried to talk my parents into it one time. They're like, dude, you're not ready for that. What are you talking about? We don't got money to send you anywhere. And I just couldn't do it. So for a while, I kind of gave up. I'm like, well, if I can't do anything big, you know, I guess I can't really do anything. I guess I'll just keep playing video games. But on my final year as a student at Falls Creek, my final year as I was 17, I got the opportunity to go serve in the tabernacle. I was on the decision team. They give the youth an option, like you can get a little cool lanyard. You go up there, and as kids make a decision, they go up to the front. It's like an altar call. And the front line is other youth who've been there, made that decision, and you get to help walk through their decision. And then once you've taken the notes, talked to them, prayed over them, you hand that card to an adult, and they make sure everything's right. So I got that opportunity, and I got to pray over multiple kids that year. And I realized that in that moment, go wasn't I needed to go somewhere amazing. I didn't need to go to Brazil. Go was being there at the altar call, talking to kids who were hurt, who were getting to know Christ for the first time. Go was right where I was at Falls Creek that time. And that made me realize that means go means when I'm at church too, right? Go means wherever I'm at, wherever I'm living. And that woke something up in me. I was like, it was crazy. And now, after I realized that, I was 17 then, I'm 26 now, so almost 10 years later, I've continued to go. And like I said, go is wonderfully ordinary sometimes. And I've gotten the wonderful experience to be the youth leader for these great students and others who aren't here today. And I get to disciple them and guide them in Christ every Wednesday, every Sunday, every time we get to go to Falls Creek. And that sounds a little crazy. You know, it sounds kind of normal. And honestly, y'all are like, that sounds like teenagers for that long. You know, not my calling. And it might not be yours. But I know it's where I needed to be. And it's where I'm going to continue to be for a while because I love what I do. I love hanging with you guys. It's amazing. And so go for me was staying right where I was, but letting God take the reins in my life instead of me trying to do everything myself and say, nah, this is what go looks like, and I'm only going to do it that way. No, we got to do it God's way. So as the band make their way up to the stage, I want to kind of set, I want you to picture those disciples one more time. They're standing on a mountain. The risen Savior is before them. And this is a moment they'll never forget. But eventually, they have to walk down. They have to leave the mountain. But when they do, history changes. Everything changes. Like I said earlier, we're here because they walked down that mountain and decided to go. Because they carried the message of Jesus into the world and gave us Gentiles a chance to hear the word. Am I right? I hope you know that's our calling too. We may have had a great mountain, and this week God moved powerfully in the lives of our students. He gave them the chance to be closer with him, and he gave them the instructions necessary to keep growing. But the real story begins now, not because camp is over, because the mission continues. And that's true for every one of us, not just the students. Don't spend your life chasing another mountaintop. Walk faithfully in the place God has placed you in, because that's where disciples are made, where you are at right now. That's where families are changed. That's where communities are transformed. And that's where the gospel shines the brightest. But before Jesus ever told us to go, he arrived. He left the glory of heaven. He entered our broken world as a child. He lived the perfect life we could never think of living. At least I couldn't. He died the death we deserved. And he rose again in victory. Now he tells us to go, not to earn his love, but because we already have it. And we don't go alone. We go with his authority, and we go with his presence. So as we close today, I want to leave you with one question. What is the next step of obedience God is asking you to take? Is it baptism? For some, it may be sharing your faith. For others, it may be recommitting your life to Christ entirely. And honestly, it might be trusting Jesus for the very first time today. Whatever that step is, take it. Because the mountain was never the destination. It was preparation for what's next. Will you join me in prayer? Dear God, thank you for allowing me to be up here and share this word. I pray that these words were yours and not mine. I pray that we go out and we go. We share your word. We make disciples and we baptize in your name. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities I've had this week. And I thank you for the opportunities you're going to continue to place in my life moving forward. I pray for these youth that this week is not as hard as it could be and that they can see your movement in every day, in every moment. Lord, I thank you for everyone here today. And I pray that you keep them safe as they go out. And I pray that you gather us here safely next week. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you all.
Amen. Church, your voices sound amazing, do they not? Can we just give a round of applause for Josh? Yes. You know, his youth group is used to hearing him, but this was a treat for us to be able to hear him today. And what a powerful message, and especially coming back from Falls Creek with that message, reminding you guys that, hey, there's still tomorrow. What now? What comes next? So all I'd like us to do before we dismiss, can we just stretch your hands out, and we're going to pray over Josh. Heavenly Father, we lift up Josh. We lift up his wife, Nikki, and his beautiful new baby, Maya. God, as Josh just continues to grow in the Lord, as he continues to stretch and reach and dig, God, as he's searching the path for ordination as well, Lord, we lift him up and we lift up Nikki, because we know that that's a sacrifice. When you're in ministry, Lord, that is a sacrifice, and we lift him up right now. God, we ask you to give him rest just like this week that only comes from you. It doesn't come from any hours of sleep, but it comes from you. God, when he feels weary, that you lift him up. When he feels like it doesn't matter if he's there or not, that you remind him that it does matter, even if to just one, it matters. We ask that you give him that boldness and that faithfulness to continue to grow in you. God, as we dismiss this week, Lord, we ask you to be with us, that you help us to be light and salt, to be proper ambassadors of Jesus Christ in our words and our actions, the way we treat one another. May we be different than the rest of the world in those areas. I pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.